Well, if you've picked up your outline, you'll see that the topic for this week is salvation. Salvation is an important part of any religion, the idea of salvation, and Christianity is the only religion that actually offers true salvation. But despite the offer of salvation, despite all that God has done, Jesus said that the many, the most people, we're going to enter the broad way that leads to destruction. So we want to look this morning at why many people are lost. When God wants salvation and offers salvation for everyone, why is it then that many people are still going to be lost? Matthew 7:13-14 says, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Why is it that so many go down that broad way? We know that it's true. Jesus said it. But why is that? And we're going to look at some of the reasons this morning that people go down that broad path instead of seeking the narrow path. Some are lost because they don't realize they are lost. That's one of the primary reasons. If you ask people, they think they're saved. Or other people have never heard the gospel at all. We sang earlier, the gospel is for all. Some have never heard. Some think they're right with God and are mistaken about that. Those who have never heard are mentioned in 2 Timothy 2:2. It talks about the fact that we need to teach others. "And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." That's the way the gospel is spread, one person teaching another. And when that isn't done, then the gospel's not heard. And there are places in this world today, even with all of the missionaries that are out there, with all of the Bibles that have been printed, there are still people who have never heard the gospel. But then, of course, there are those who have heard the gospel, and for one reason or another, they believe that they're saved, but they're not. Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Well, one of the things that we need to do is, of course, to be sure that we're mentioning Jesus to those around us. We want to sing the first and third verses of number 561, "You never mentioned him to me." We don't want this to be the circumstance when we stand before God on that great day. Well, the second thing that we want to notice, though, is that some are lost because they don't believe in some of the things they should. Some are lost because they don't believe in God. Psalm 14:1 says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Some are lost simply because they don't believe in God. There are others who are lost because they don't believe in Jesus. They may claim to believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus, His Son. John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Jesus made it clear on several occasions that He came to save us, that He brought salvation, that He brought the forgiveness of sins, that He was the only way to the Father. And yet some don't believe in Him and try to go another way. And there are some who will be lost despite the fact that they don't believe in hell. There are some people who don't believe anybody's going to hell, and yet they still may go there themselves, even though they don't believe in it. You see, with God, you don't have to believe it in order for Him to do it. He will do what He chooses to do. Matthew 10:28, Jesus tells His followers, "Do not fear them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." It always amazes me, people who believe in Jesus, talk about him as their Savior, and yet they don't believe in hell. Jesus believed in hell. He spoke of it right here and in other passages as well. He made it very clear that there is going to be a place that those who do not please his Father, who do not obey, will go, that will be a place of suffering and torment. And we don't want to be a part of that group that goes there. And so we have to believe that it's there so that we can know to avoid it. The third thing that we want to pay attention to this morning is that even though some may have heard, they may know who they believe in, they may not love the right things. If they don't love the right things, they're not going to live their life in the right way. Even if they believe in God, even if they believe in Jesus, even if they believe there's a hell, if we don't love the right things, we can still be lost. And so the first one that we want to notice is truth, from 2 Thessalonians 2:7-12.
"For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have had pleasure in unrighteousness."
So some people who don't love the truth will be swayed by false teachings. If we love the truth, we won't allow ourselves to be pulled away by that. There are some who had the right love, they loved the right things to start with, but they did not continue in those things they loved at first. So they did not continue to love their first love. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4.
Revelation 2 verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love."
Here in Revelation, John is writing for the Lord to a church that had at one time loved him. They initially had a great zeal for him and a great love and fervor to do what God wanted them to do, but they had left it. Another problem is there are those who do not love the brethren. 1 John 3, verses 14 and 15 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that does not love his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." We have to love the right things. Of course, if we love the Lord, we're going to love those things that He loves. And if we don't love those things that He loves, then we're not really His followers. We're not really children of God under those circumstances. Of course, we love Jesus and His sacrifice for us on the cross. Because of that, on each first day of the week, we remember that with the Lord's Supper. Well, in addition to there being those who do not love the right things, there are others who, though they may love those right things, they may love the wrong things even more. And that can cause them to be lost because they love the wrong things. You see, some love sin. John chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." There are some people, and I've met some, who they love Jesus, but they just love their sinful behaviors more. And they just weren't willing to give them up. There are others who may love the praise of men more than they love God. John 12:42 and 43 says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There are some people who, in order to be popular, in order to keep their friends, they won't love God like they should because they love those other people more. There are some who love the world. 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." Some people are just consumed by materialism. They love the pleasures, they love the fun, they love the events that this world has to offer. And because of that, that love overshadows any love they may have for God. There are some who love themselves. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." You see, there are some who put themselves on the throne where God belongs. And because of that, they may even have a form of spirituality or a form of religion about them, but they're simply worshiping according to their own will. They're serving God as they think is best instead of doing what He wants them to do. They love themselves. Jesus warned of that. Those who try to save their life must lose it. He said, "Anyone who loves anyone, including themselves, more than him, he must hate even his own life and come after me," Jesus said. And then there are those who love money more than they love God. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which while some coveted after it, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." We need to love the Lord and His work and not love the things of this world too much. All of these things, the material things of this world, will pass away. Only God and His heavenly realm remains forever. We need to love Him and look to those things that are from above. And now we'll take up the collection. The reason that some wind up being lost is that they trust their own good works. Now, many times throughout the Scriptures, the Bible tells us to do good works. We certainly should not avoid those things. We should be doing them. But no matter how many good works we do, we can never trust that our good works are enough to earn us a place in heaven. God does not owe us a place. We cannot earn it. Our good works are done because of our gratefulness that He has saved us. There are works of obedience that He has commanded us, and we must do those in order to be saved, but they themselves are not the things that save us, other than the fact that He's commanded them. Whatever He's commanded, we must do in order to be pleasing to Him. So there are those who trust their own good works. We want to look at a few verses regarding Cornelius, as well as the Pharisees who trusted in their own good works at one time.
Acts 10:1-2. "There is a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." Acts 11:14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? The Pharisees, Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others.
You know, it is good for us to do good things. But when we trust in ourselves and think we can get ourselves to heaven and forget that we wouldn't even know where it was if it weren't for God, then we failed. Cornelius had to be told words whereby he might be saved. Even though he did all those good things, he was still lost until he was told how to be saved. One of those things he was told was that he was commanded to be baptized. And all of those who had gathered there were commanded, be baptized. It wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. That was not them saving themselves with good works they had done. That was them being obedient to God's commands. We need not confuse that. Some people think that because they donate blood or because they work at a hospital or because they volunteer their time for some good service, that that's somehow going to make them right with God. But it doesn't. In order to be right with God, we must be obedient to the commands that He has given and love and trust Him and not ourselves. On the other side, from those that we just discussed that trust their own good works, there will be many who are lost because they trust only grace or faith and will not do anything. You see, many times God has given us the truth that's in the middle and people go to one extreme or the other, the wrong direction. He warns back in the Old Testament, do not depart to the right or to the left. There's a narrow path, Jesus said. And we've got to find that narrow path. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, it does say, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, Titus tells us that the grace of God has appeared to all men, but that doesn't mean everyone will be saved. The grace of God is a gift, and as with any gift, that gift must be accepted, and then it's got to be opened up and used, or it doesn't profit anything. God's grace is wonderful. But God's grace, without our response to it, is useless. It doesn't accomplish a thing. It doesn't save anyone who will not respond to it. The same with faith. James 2, verses 24 and 26 through 26 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Interestingly enough, the only time that the phrase faith only is used in the Bible, and James says not by faith only. And yet the religious world today says faith only. That's not what James said. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We can't have real, living faith without works. It won't stand by itself. It's like one side of a ladder. If you only have one side of a ladder, it's going to fall. You've got to have the works on the other side to make it stand up. People claim, I believe this, I believe that. James said, well, if you say you believe it, show me without doing something. There's no way to show that you really believe anything unless you do something. So we have to have that grace. We have to have that faith. But we can't trust so much in them that we don't do anything. And then we just sit back and wait for God to save us. The story is told of a man who was on a roof during a flood. And a boat came by and said, well, we'll get in, we'll carry you off. And he said, no, the Lord's going to save me. While later a helicopter came, dropped down a rope, said, grab the rope, we'll pull you up and we'll save you. He said, no, the Lord's going to save me. Well, the floodwaters came on up over his head and he drowned. He went to judgment day and stood before God and said, God, I got you let me drown. God said, I sent you a boat and a helicopter, what else do you want? We've got to do something. We've got to respond to God's offer of grace and faith if we want to receive it. And so we have to learn those lessons. The last thing that we want to look at is a reason that people are lost. And I'm sure there are other different aspects of these things that we haven't covered this morning, but the last one we want to observe is that many people are lost because they're not satisfied with Christ and His church. For some, the way is too difficult. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 21 says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a little while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." Some just give up too easily. It's too hard for them to do that. Others, they are offended by the so-called hypocrites in the church. We hear about that all the time. And so people who are unwilling to spend a couple of hours a week with those hypocrites will wind up spending an eternity in hell with those hypocrites. There may be some hypocrites in the church, but God's not going to let the hypocrites into heaven. There may be, at times, people who are doing the wrong thing. But that shouldn't keep us from doing the right thing. Matthew 23 and verse 13, Jesus talked to some of those folks. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." They keep others out. They will have to answer for that in the last day. And then others, because of problems in the church and problems with the church, they don't want to be involved. James 3, 14 through 16 says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Well, despite the problems that will always exist any time you get people together, here on this earth, people are not perfect. There will be problems. There will be hypocrites. There will be difficulties. There will be problems and strife from time to time. But that's no reason to quit. We need to continue to want to be workers for the Lord. So what about you? Are you ready for that great day that is coming? Are you prepared? Have you made sure of your salvation? Our scripture for this week from Philippians chapter 2 tells us, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That's on your green paper. Work out your own salvation. We spend so much time criticizing, trying to find problems with other people, and we need to work on our own lives. We need to focus on ourselves. Are you doing that? Or are you perhaps falling into one of these categories? Maybe you didn't realize before we studied some of these things that you're lost, that you haven't done those things that you should, or maybe you've done those things you shouldn't. Maybe you don't believe in the right things. Perhaps you don't love the right things. Maybe you noticed as we looked at these scriptures today that you love the wrong things. Or perhaps you've realized that you're trusting your own works instead of the Lord. Or maybe you're trusting His grace and faith so much that you're not doing anything and you're not working at all for Him. Perhaps you haven't been satisfied with Christ. Maybe you think there ought to be something added to it. Maybe you think it needs something more or something less. Well, whatever the case may be, if you find yourself in a situation where you're not right with God this morning, you need to make the changes necessary to get right with Him. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one through following His plan for salvation, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. And then live your life faithfully in service to Him. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you've found yourself swayed in the wrong way by some of these things we've discussed this morning, and you need to repent, now is the time. Whatever your need may be, please come as we stand and as we sing.